All that. Specials. I love the way the Lord ministers through music to his people. It's always really good. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. 4, verse 4. I see that everyone survived the missing hour of sleep last night. It's not so bad in the fall when they change it, you know, because you get an extra hour, so people might be showing up early or something. But in the springtime, which we're looking forward to that, if you lose that hour, so amen. Looking forward to springtime. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Brother Tim sung at least 2 songs about that, about praying. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Just want to just humble ourselves to you now. Thank you for the song service. Thank you for this time to be together. Thank you for your word, a great message that you've sent this day for us. We ask, God, this morning that our hearts would be opened, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would get into the midst of your word where you dwell. Lord, it's the anointed word, and we just pray that it would go to every heart and speak, Lord. We ask, God, that you would cause us to hear you and that you would get glory to yourself. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be with in the house of the Lord today and be with you. Amen. So just remember next week, Brother Jonathan Goff will be with us on Sunday morning, and my wife and I will be gone. We'll be in Indiana for a wedding. And we were talking, she was mentioning, yeah, we're going to be up there. She said, how close are you going to be to Jeffersonville? And I said, well, I don't know, probably about an hour away, something like that. She said, we should go to Shim's Candy, get some candy. And so I said, well, they might not even be open. And but she got on their website and to see, you know, they open up on Saturdays at 10 o'clock in the morning. And so while she was on the website, she read a little bit of the story about Sonny Shim, who was dying in the hospital. And of course, we've heard it on tape where Brother Bram went to him and told him, you know, thus saith the Lord, you're not going to die, but I will sell you Red Hots again over the counter. And even on their website, they have that little story there saying that Brother Bram came to him and promised, you know, I will sell you Red Hots once again. You know, there's testimonies like that all over the world, and they can't be denied. And yet people walk away and just act like the message not really anything to contend with or to listen to. But it's real. And one day this whole world, every knee will bow to that word.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. So I'll just title this today, Think on These Things. And I wanted to read a quote real quick. We say this all the time. I've read it 2 or 3 times here recently, but we use it as part of what we get going with, and it's Christ is the mystery of God revealed, where Brother Ram says the new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed this this great mystery, and that is the new birth. And he said, now what are you going to do when you get all that group together? In other words, all the people that have the new birth. What are you going to do when you get them all together, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same things that he did, making the word manifest? He asked the question, what are you going to do when they all get together? Because there's a great gathering, right? What are you going to do when you get all those like-minded believers together in one mind, one spirit? So he says, oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day. And then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Now notice, you say, Brother Branham, that ain't. Oh, yes, it is. It is the truth. So he knows that some people say, well, that's not right. But he said, yes, it is. One day, the church will understand their position. And when that happens, then the rapture will go.
Right.
So you notice he said the rapture will go. We've mentioned this many times. You've probably heard it many places. But he did not say the rapture will come. You talk to people in the world and they're thinking, yeah, this event's going to come. But when you look through the eyes of what God is doing and what he has committed to us, you realize the rapture is here. Right. It is a cycle. It is a move. It's something that's going on. And when it's finished doing what it's doing here on this earth, then it's going to go and take us with it.
Right.
And so that's why Brother Branham said that it will go, not come, because it is here. And so when the church, when the bride knows their position, so these things will happen. So you realize from that that the end time ministry, the whole responsibility of the end time ministry is to preach that word and to get that out there so that the bride through that word recognizes who she is. There's an emphasis on that right there, on showing the bride who she is, get her to understand her position. So that's why it seems to me like when I sit back and I look at every sermon the Lord gives me, and it's all, to me, it's always saying the same thing, even though it's different scriptures and things like that, but it's always saying the same thing, and that is showing the people what God has committed to them so that we can come to that place where we truly understand what position God has given us. And so you can see that the end time ministry, that they have to be focused on that. Because that's the whole purpose. That's why the message came, and that's why there's a ministry here, is to bring that to each one and to the bride so that we can all know who we are. And so we realize that, really, this is her, the bride, this is her time. And I know you've heard this before, too, but this is her time. We understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is. All the churches in the world know that he's this, the Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's coming in glory. He's going to take over and set up a millennium. We're going to have eternity with him. We all know that. And it's not to distract away from him, but realize there is a portion of him that is bride. There's a portion of him that is bride, and that bride has to be manifested. And until she's manifested, he's not fully manifest. Right? So we understand that. He's not fully manifest until she is. And so there, this is her time. And of course, we read in the scriptures there in Revelation chapter 19 that rejoice because the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife has made herself ready. And if you really think about it, the whole entire plan of redemption from way back when God started all the way down to now was the purpose was for him to get a bride. That's what it was. And so we find all the way at the end of the book of Revelation, after we've had all these thousands of years for him to find that wife, and now it declares it right there at the end of the book of Revelation that rejoice, because everything that's been going on all these years has finally culminated. We finally got to the place where he's got a bride now, and she's made herself ready. And so, you know, whenever, like next week in the wedding, you know, there'll be the bridegroom be standing here at the front, not in this building, wherever we're at up there, be standing there and getting ready. And whenever she walks in, everybody's going to turn and look at her, not him. Now, if you're thinking about it being the Lord Jesus Christ, who is this church? Who is this female entity that Jesus Christ found to be virtuous and found to be such a one that he would marry her? So I would think at the end of time that all the angels and all the every being would be rejoicing when that time comes, because there's finally one that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords says is worthy, and he's ready to step to the altar and take her to be his wife. So you understand what I'm saying? That's a tremendous thing. And so this is her time. We know his glory, and like I said, not to take away from him. But what about her? What kind of female is she? What kind of virtue does she have that he would be attracted and he would be willing to say that my future home will be great with her? Yeah. Right? Because Brother Rem said that a man, when he picks a woman, that shows what's in his heart. And he needs to pick a woman that he knows that his future, his home, his raising of his children, and everything will be what it should be by her character. Because she has the power to make or break a home.
Right.
That's why the scripture says that a child left to themselves will bring the mother to shame. Right? It didn't say father. Because mom's the one that's the backbone of the nation. Mother's the one that makes so much difference. Mother's the one that dad can pass away and the family's still together. But when mom goes, they go all pieces. You know, you see that. And so because mom is so special, and it's that's the way it is, but this is her time. This is a time for the ministry to really focus on her so that she comes to that and she realizes who she is, because we're coming in that hour where all eyes are going to be on her anyway, to see who this bride is, to see who this one, see who it is that he's married. We know that common phrases, a lot of things I'm going to say today are common phrases, that rapturing faith lays on the tapes. And, you know, we know when he said tapes was because that's the way they were recording them, but they're on MP3 now, they're on disc, they're on flashcards, and they're on your phone, you can download them. What he's saying is the rapturing faith lays in those sermons that God delivered through that prophet. And so he said that the rapturing faith lays on those tapes. And so you realize the Bible under this ministry has become a new book to us. It became a new book to me. We see things in there that the rest of the world doesn't see. And if you try to share it with them, a lot of times they'll argue and say, that's not what it says. But it really does, because you've got to look through the eyes and the mindset of what God has given us in this day. And so we realize that rapturing faith does lay in this message, but it lays in the Bible. It lays in the Bible, but the message has become a great light to shine upon that we might see what's really laying there in the scriptures. And so it's laying right there, and that's why he says it lays on tape. I say that because some people say, well, you claim that he's the one that brought it. Well, he just shined the light on the word that was there always. Just like he always said, you can't add to or take away. It can't be something new added like they tried to tell him one time. He said, no, it has to be right here. It is revealed out of the scriptures. And this end time message has brought us to the place where we could look at this with a light that we couldn't see before. And now we can see things coming out of the scriptures that we wouldn't see without it. And so we realize that rapturing faith does lay in the message. That's the source. Because when I listen to the message, this is what I hear. Yeah. This right here, this Bible. In more clarity. That's what I hear when I listen to sermons. Because it's always pointing back to scriptures and showing me things that were there that I didn't see before coming to this message. And so rapturing faith is on the tapes. It is in the message. It is in the Word of God. And remember, we call it the message. And it is. Just remember, it is a message. And a message comes from someone, and it goes to someone, and there's a purpose for it. And so we realize that this is a message. It is a message from God. It comes from him, and it is to his bride. Remember the prophet said, you know, pick up your pen and write? And God wrote a little letter to his wife and said, you're invincible. Right? He wrote a letter to us. And so it is a message. It comes from God. It goes to his bride, and it goes there for a purpose. God doesn't have this message coming to us because he needs to know something. He's bringing it to us because we're the ones he wants. He wants to take this message, what he knows in his mind and what's on his heart, and he wants that transferred into your heart and into your mind, into your thinking, and he gets it to us through his word, through his messengers. And a great light has shined. A great angel has come down out of the midst of the word, out of the midst of heaven, with a light that has lightened the whole entire earth. And now God is saying, come out of her, my people. That's what's happened in our day. Great, great light has shined. And so it's a message. This is to, you know, and here's the thing. If I said, I'm going to send a message to you through Brother Tim, it would be foolish for you to go to Brother Matthew and say, what did Brother Tony say? The message comes through the channel that it's sent, and you won't find it anywhere else. There is a certain way that God has given it. I hate to say that, and I see all these people that the marrying divorce, they're, oh, woe is me, heartache, and all that. And I'm like, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. And that's why. You going to find you a good wife in a bar room? In a pool hall? No. See, we have to look to the right source for rapturing faith. We have to look to the source of what the way God has sent this message to us. I'm not going to go to Benny Hinn and expect to hear anything that's going to give me rapturing faith. And forgive me for calling names, but, you know, we're going to judge the whole thing anyway. Right? We're going to stand there and judge the whole world, all angels and everything else, so might as well get ready. You know, I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I'm just saying you got to go to the right source to get these things. And that source has been thoroughly vindicated that it came from God.
Yeah.
Right? Why would God send you 10,000 questionable voices and say, I'm speaking to you through them, and you don't know? I mean, you have no, right? But when he vindicates a channel, then you know it's right because it's vindicated. Because there's a mark upon it that only God can do.
Yeah.
Then you know you can sit and you can listen to that and know that it comes from God.
Yeah.
And you won't find it from another source. So rapturing faith lives in the Word. It comes from the Word, from the tapes, from the message. And it is a message from God. And Brother Ram tells us that to the bride, the rapture is a revelation. Right? He said, to the bride, the rapture is a revelation. And you know, revelation, the message thoroughly shows us this, that revelation comes from God only. I mean, we can read the Word, but until the Holy Spirit quickens what that Word is saying, like He's done so greatly in this day, through a message, and the Holy Spirit always agrees with His message, that He's showing us what's here on this Bible, showing us these things. And so a revelation only comes from God, and it's something that's revealed to you from God, and flesh and blood cannot reveal that to you.
Right.
Lord willing, I'll read a little bit later where Brother Graham talks about this. But flesh and blood cannot give you a revelation. I can stand here and talk until I am 89 years old and whatever, and I can never give you a revelation, but the Holy Spirit, while I'm speaking to you, or while you're listening to tapes, the Holy Spirit can come and strike your heart, and now you've got it.
Right.
But it comes that way. So that's how you know you can. One man can listen to it and say, that man called me a buzzard. And another man says, well, I heard the same message, and he calls me an eagle. Why? Because the Holy Spirit strikes that heart, because it's his predestinated one to hear it, and the timing is right. And the other guy doesn't. So revelation, and to the bride, the rapture is a revelation. And so that can only come from God. It's a message from Him specifically to you, the bride, and not for somebody else. And it comes through a certain channel, and it comes through revelation.
Right.
And it's something that changes us. Revelation is something we couldn't get ourselves, and nobody else could get it for us, no person. It can only come from God, and it's something He imparts and gives to you. And so when it comes, it changes you. Because remember in the scriptures, Jesus said that, you know, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. That's the one thing that heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word will not pass away. And when God reveals that Word into your heart, it cannot pass away. And once you've got that, it doesn't matter what Satan tries to do. He cannot take that from you. Listen, if you don't have a desire for that yet, I pray that you do, that you get to that place that you desire, that God will put something in your heart that no matter what comes your way, nothing will be able to take that from you. Because that's the new birth. That's a real thing. Now, once it's revealed to you, nothing can pull that away from you. Nothing, no matter how sad you get because this happens or because that happens, no matter how hard times get, no matter what happens to the economy, Satan can't touch that. Your whole body can be laying, wasted away, and he can't touch that because God put it there, and the church is built upon that. That's the thing we need. That's the thing that every believer needs. We can't have those who are faking it till they make it. We need to really make it and have that deposit down in our hearts. We don't want to just be going about some lodge, going through some ritual or something like that. We want that quickened word in our heart that comes from God, so we need to be looking for it.
Amen.
So the rapture is a revelation. It'll change us. It'll do things for us that we can't do ourselves. And Brother Bram said, and she will be looking for that revelation. She'll keep listening. I keep listening for a different sound. Right? We should be listening for a different sound than what the world is listening to.
Right, yeah.
And we should be listening to the right thing and the source that we know it comes from. So, we know we're all familiar where Jesus said in the scriptures, when you begin to see these things come to pass, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, has anybody heard about a war lately? When you hear these things and you see men's hearts failing from fear, people just so fearful. That's one thing I'm so glad that didn't strike this group of believers was fear over COVID.
Right.
And so, but what Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass and you see Israel in their homeland and all those things, he said, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The message I hear in that is, don't be sad, don't be worried, don't be like the rest of the world who are all in the mully grubs and gloomy like that. He said, lift up your head, look up. So you understand that what should be happening here at the end time with the bride of Christ here at the end, when these things begin to happen and the rest of the world is getting scared and shaking and trembling, that the message at that time should give us and empower us to do what Jesus said do, and that is to look up and lift up our heads and have the right mindset, the right thinking, and the right understanding of what we're seeing in this world. Because these are signs that our redemption draweth nigh. Where there will be no more sorrows. There will be no more pains. No more disappointments. And that's not just, you know, whatever. That's the truth. So, look up and lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. To give us proper thinking, a revelation to give us the proper thinking in a very deceiving time. Amen. So, think on these things. That the rapture comes from that message. It has a certain way that it comes, and it's a revelation, and we'll be looking for it, and it's going to change us. So start looking for that, thinking on those things, looking to see in our midst, and in our own walk, in our own lives, God doing what he said he would do. Something lodging down inside that gives us peace that passes all understanding when the rest of the world was fearful.
Right, yeah.
Amen. Start looking for these things and looking for them in your life and praying over them. Pray with your family. Pray for these things and look for them to happen and meditate on them. The scripture says in Malachi chapter 3 and 4, that they that, you know, feared the Lord spake often one to another. And a book of remembrance was written for those who spoke often one to another, who feared the Lord, and that's a reverential respect. That's one thing that's wrong with this generation. They have no respect for God. They have no respect for about anything. They don't respect God. They don't respect parents, and they don't respect law.
Right.
They don't respect rules. They don't respect what you should do for other people, right? Do unto others as you'd have them do to you. They don't respect things, so they don't have a fear. They don't think that some of the things you've seen in the Bible happen can happen. I think one good thing that probably could happen, you know, in the midst of a church that's slack and so forth, would be Ananias and Sapphira. Hate to say that, but that got their attention, didn't it?
Right.
You know, and so those things could be happening, but they don't respect, they don't, you know. But yet there are cases out there where people will swear and things like that, and they drop dead or pass out or right in front of a camera or whatever when they say things contrary to the Bible. Everybody just ignores it and goes right on like nothing. But there needs to be a reverential respect. And so that this book was written on those who spake often one to another about God and about His Word. That's one thing about believers. Even when I would go somewhere over, like into when I went to Turkey and I met some believers there, we already had something in common. It was already like we just were family. Right? Because we spake often one another the very thing that has changed our lives. That's our tie post. That's the thing that pulls us together. These brothers in the church are like fishing, and as much as they like to fish with each other, that pulling together to fish can only go so far.
Right.
It can't take you to rapture, but there is something among this church and among the believers around the world that will go the long way, that will take them all the way to rapture.
Yeah.
And so the scripture said that he'd write this book of remembrance, and it would be in a day when he was making up his jewels. That's a day when he burns an oven. When great tribulation and great things happen, and it purifies the walk of every Christian believer. That this oven's going to burn, and in that day he's going to burn all the rest of the world. And we realize physically that's going to happen at some point. But right now the world out there is being burnt by the power of God because of their ungodliness. And while times are getting hard and they're failing and their fear and all those things, the believer down inside is getting stronger. Because they're listening to a different thing. And so we want to speak often one to another about the thing that ties us together. And so, you know, this message has to drop from our heads right down into our hearts.
Right.
It can't just be head knowledge. But we actually have to believe it down inside where it really affects us, and we really do become what it is that we're believing. You know, they say you are what you eat, right? Well, if that's true, then in the spirit realm, we become more of a manifestation of the Word by eating more of the Word.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And so it has to drop down into our hearts that we are the bride coming of Christ. Like I said a while ago, Christ is not complete. Adam was not complete without Eve. She had to be manifested. And so it has to drop down into our hearts that we are that bride coming of Christ, that He is here on this earth today in a many-membered body, and we are members of that body.
Right.
We have to really realize and understand that, so that not just head knowledge, because you know, when it's head knowledge and you get in the midst of battle and work and things going on and all kinds of confusion and all that, you forget those things. But something's got to become a tie post down inside that in those rough times it holds. It's an anchor that holds, so that none of these other things will change that. And so it has to drop down in our hearts and become the real thing. And we realize we are the bride coming of Christ. And if we are the bride of Christ, then this message that He has sent to us will have an effect on us.
Right.
It will change us. It will change us. It will get our attention. And we will become that message. Remember when Brother Bram was telling about the Welch Revival? And they went over and said, hey, you know, we're looking for the Welch Revival. He spoke to a policeman. Where's the Welch Revival? And that policeman said, I'm the revival. You understand what he's saying there? Where's the message of the hour? I am the message. The message that God sent, I am that message on display. You are that message on display. How many understands that? How many believes you're that message on display? You need to. You need to understand that. Because remember, I'm all springboarding off of the very first thing, when she knows what she is, what her position is. And that's what I'm saying. We must come to that place where we have no more doubts about who we are. Because there's great things that comes with that. So it will get our attention if we're the bride, and we'll become that message. Brother Bram tells us that the rapture, you know, the scripture said that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Brother Bram said He descends. All three of those things happen when He descends. A shout, a voice, and a trumpet. And He told us what those were. A shout was a message to get the people together, and the voice would be the Lord. The trumpet would be I forget how He said it. But He tells us what the three things are there. A shout, voice, and trumpet. And there'd be a gathering together of the people. He said a trumpet is always for gathering. But what I want to point out here is that a shout and a voice and a trumpet, all three of those are heard. Not what you see, but they're heard. And so many times Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." Amen. Not to add to or take away, but to clarify, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the bride." And so they're all three something that you hear. So this, Brother M said, it's a great gathering. When you blow a trumpet, it's to gather the people together. It might be for war, might be for a celebration. That if a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how can people prepare for war? How can they come together? If they don't understand what they're hearing, how can they gather together and be strong? And the whole concept there is to get everybody to come to one place, in one place of unity, so that now that it can go and they can be strong in fighting in their battles. So a trumpet would gather the people together to war. A trumpet on the battlefield would tell our soldiers in civil war and different things, tell them what to do. And there'd be a certain sound that would come forth and they would know to retreat. Or another sound that would know to advance. So we have to hear the trumpet. You can't put a deaf man out there and tell him to fight when it's a trumpet sound, right? So he that hath an ear to hear, they can hear these things, and he that hath an ear to hear can hear this shout, a shout crying out, a voice of the archangel, and a trumpet. He can hear those things. And so they're all to the hearing. And as I mentioned a while ago, that God doesn't blow a trumpet. He doesn't do these things for himself. He does it for us. So that we can hear and so that we can respond to that trumpet sound. And so, you know, a shout is where the person, instead of just talking, they raise their voice. They shout. In other words, they're trying to get the attention. In other words, there's all kinds of other stuff going on that's probably keeping people distracted. And I gotta shout my voice a little higher. I have to bring it to the place where it overcomes all the noise of the age, and I get their attention.
Right.
In other words, I have to speak through a ministry that can do things that nobody else can do.
Yeah.
Right? When Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men." So Jesus, going up on the cross physically, lifted him up where all eyes could see him, that he was that one that died for us, and he hung there and suffered for us, right? If that would have been down in the midst of all the people, nobody could see anything. So it has to be lifted up. There has to be a ministry and a message and something taking place that's far beyond all the rest. And everybody, that even in their own books, they can say, that was God through that little man from Kentucky.
Amen.
And they'll be judged by their own words because they rejected the word he gave.
Yeah.
They love the fishes and loaves, but when it comes to the word that would save them, to give them a body change, they walked away from it. They didn't want it. Amen. And so there has to be a shout, something to get your trumpet, get your voice, and there would be a trumpet that would be for a gathering of the people together. The trumpet of God. And these things would bring the resurrection of the dead. He said the voice was the voice of the resurrection, and the trumpet would be change of our bodies. So all these things are pertaining to hearing. And it's all coming through the voice of the word that these things come. It is through the hearing of the word. You're not going to hear some loud voice coming through the atmosphere. You're not going to hear a trumpet. Great. Oh, you know, there's a great trumpet coming from we don't know where. That's the world idea. But that's not how it comes. Because it's a shout and it's a voice. And it's a trumpet that is speaking to those who have the ear to hear.
Right.
That's who it's for. It's not for the rest of the world. And I know that sounds so crude, but it's in the Bible. Amen. So it'll be a gathering together of the people, gathering under the hearing of the word. And it will change us. It'll change our habits. It'll change our behaviors. And it'll change our bodies eventually.
Right.
I was looking up the other day to try and understand what's the difference between habits? What's the difference between behaviors? You know, there's a whole sequence of those. Yeah, you know, well, this makes this, this makes this, this makes this. And so, but whatever it is that we're made up of, this word will change us and eventually change our bodies. And it will pull us into the right thinking and into the right living and the right kind of manifestation, because it will be the word manifested in our lives. And it will pull us into equality. Equality among all believers. So the thread that's running through this that I want to make sure you get, we mention it all the time, but as we've already said, flesh and blood cannot reveal this to you. And you can sit and listen to a minister, and God can reveal to you while you're hearing that minister speak the word of God. We're not against that. But when it comes to people looking to a man and rallying around a personality, it's not coming that way.
Right.
And so when all the bride members come to this place we're talking about, there's not going to be great ministries that they're going to flog to and say, oh, this is, you got to be here or else. It's not what it is. It's going to be an equality where we all understand that we're all members of one body, and every member is just as much important as any other. Amen? You've never seen your heart, but how important is it? In reality, you could lose a finger and be fine, but you could lose your heart and be fine. But you've never seen your heart. So if you really look at it, there are some parts that are more comely than others. There's some parts that the body just can't do without. A church can't go without a pastor. I know there's plenty of them out there that try to, but you can be without an evangelist. You can be without a prophet. You can be without a teacher, right? An apostle. But you do have to have a pastor. That's one thing. But my point is that for it to operate correctly, you need all of those members.
Right.
Because you can have a heart and have a hand missing, and you're going to be handicapped. And God's got no handicaps.
Right.
He's got nothing missing. Brother Ram said she will not be a bride with one breast off or something like that. She will be complete.
Yeah.
And every member there, because God wouldn't have given us these things in our body if we didn't need them. So he's got every member, and every member will come to the place to understand that I need every part of this body. And we will too. So it comes to inequality. And I guess one way that, you know, like I think I mentioned recently, like, look how many people have fallen away when great personalities in the message fell away. And they took tons of people with them. Because they were tied to a personality, but those that are tied to the word, revelation, even a brown bear doesn't bother them.
Right.
Because they're connected to the right thing. You can have 10,000 believe the sign websites, and it won't change that person who's tied to the thing that the gates of hell cannot come against.
Right.
See? So there's a great shaking time, a great burning time, a great time as an oven. God is making up his jewels, and I'm so glad to look out and see you're still here and know that you're still pressing on. Like the angel of the Lord said to Brother Branham, you know, keep pressing on, keep pressing on. Because it's a shaking time.
Yeah.
Amen? So, it'll change us and bring us into qualities. So these are the things we need to watch for. This is what we need to seek after. This is what we need to think on. These are the things that matter. That God is doing something in our day. And we want to look at those things. So he said, when the church knows its position, what it is. And so, I want to kind of focus on that just for a couple of minutes. When the church knows its position, God gives us a position in the body. God gives us a position in the kingdom. Yeah. My hand can do things that my head can't, right? But my hand can't do it without the head, right? Every member's got his own special thing. But when we understand our position, who we are, what we are, when you understand your position in the church, in this local body, when you understand what your gift is and how that is ministering to this local body, as long as you're in that gift and do it, just being what you are, you'll be a blessing to this body and you'll be blessed. Or wherever, whatever body you're in, if you're listening somewhere else. But when we know our position in the local body or in the body of Christ as a whole, when you understand your position and you don't try to be something outside of that position, you'll be a blessing to the whole entire body. My head can never do what my feet do.
Right.
See, even Paul teaches us this. No member can say, oh, you know, we all have a place, and our responsibility is to let this message place us. Brother Graham said that generally preaching brings a man under conviction and gets him to repent and so forth. He said, but teaching places you positionally what you are in the body. Why? Because there's a message that has to speak to you and change your thoughts, change your thinking, so that you speak what's right. And so, but it's all the ministry, because you have to have all the fivefold ministry. They're there for a reason. And so this is part of how God put it all together. But we have to understand where our position is. And when the bride as a whole fully understands that she is Jesus Christ in bride form, and doesn't doubt it, that she knows what comes with that, then she can operate in the capacity of that position without failure. Right? Brother Tim being dominator, he's gifted to do it. So he doesn't have to worry about it. I know he probably, if he's like me, even coming up here, you're always nervous or whatever, but all you do is you just step up here and yield yourself to that gift, and it ministers to the body. And there's a blessing comes back by that. So he understands what his gift is, and he operates it. He knows, you know, it's a post of duty to him. And we all have this. We all have a responsibility to the local body, but we have a responsibility to the body of Christ as a whole, to understand where we belong, have the revelation of where we are and what we belong, how we belong, but also the entire body as a whole to understand that when we fully understand these things, we're going to be able to operate in what capacity that goes with that position and not fail. So that's why Brother Brown said, when the church knows its position, what it is, then the rapture will go. So the thing that's holding back the rapture is the bride not fully coming to full understanding, knowing her position of where God has placed her. And God is the one that places us. So she has, this church has a position, and she has to come to the revelation of that position. And when she comes to that, then it's released, right? So there's the thing. And that's why the entire ministry just keeps going on and on and on, preaching to you about who you are and what the Word has said about you. Because it's a revelation coming to you so that you might know who you are. And so these are the things you want to think on. And so when they know their position, why is it that some men could touch the ark of God and not drop dead, but others would? It was because of their position.
Right?
Priesthood could touch that ark, handle it, they move in and out, take it in and out, nothing happened to them. But an innocent man who's trying to do something he thought was right touched it and died. Because he was not in the right position to do so. Yeah. Brother Branham translated to that. Look at all these people, because the ark represents the Word. Look at all these people that are out there trying to preach and trying to push their ideas on Facebook and everywhere else, and always out there, and they're not even called to it. And all it does is a bunch of people die because of it. They die.
Right?
Because it's supposed to be carried over the heart of believers, of a man, of the ministry. And so there were men who could handle that ark and nothing would happen to them because they were called to that position and God had put them there. They didn't take it upon themselves, but God put them there, and because of their position, they could touch the ark and not die from it. But someone outside of that calling did it, even though they were good people, died. All right? They were able to because of their position that God put them in. Was it because they were better? Was it because they had no sin? No. Right? Was it because they looked good or they dressed right or they went to the right synagogue or whatever? No. They were able to do that and operate in that realm of God because of the position they had been given by God. Amen? Am I right? Is that right? Because of their position, not me right, but he's right. So why is it that some people can hear this message and hear it and believe it and rejoice in it and others cannot? Because of position. Where'd that position come from? Who put them there? Who put in you the ability to still be sitting here today after Believe the Sign went through their rampage?
Right.
Why are you here? Because God put you here.
Yeah.
And because of that, you can stand the heat of the sun that's baking the greenness out of the wheat. Because of that, you can stand that. It's not because you're better than any other people in the world. Brother Ram said there's tribes in Africa that's got better morals than we do. So it's not that. But it's because there's a people that God said they are the ones that's going to fulfill this part of my word. And because of that position, then they can be in that capacity. And we just need to understand what that position is that God's given us. And as soon as we comprehend that and understand that in a revelation standpoint, the rapture will go. The cycle will finish up and change our bodies. And so it's because of position. If you remember, out of the entire world, God needed to pick somebody that he could bring all this redemption through. So all the nations of the world, he picked Abraham. He said, out of all the people of the world, he picked Abraham. And was it because Abraham was good? No, he lived in a land where they had many gods, right? But he picked him and said, you're going to be the one. And because I've picked you, what you do has nothing to do with it. Therefore, I'll send an end time prophet to make sure we understand that I have done it regardless. I have done it, Abraham. I've blessed you. I've done these things. This is what Brother Abraham said. It wasn't on condition. It was an unconditional covenant he gave to Abraham. Not because Abraham was good or anything like that, but he was the one that God chose. And then because of that, none of those kings and all those people tried to do things to him, and they were smitten because of it.
Right.
Because of his position to be the father of faith.
Yeah.
That's why he was able to stand. So God picked out of it that the descendants of Abraham becoming the children of Israel, and that became a nation out of all the nations in the world that God said, listen to all the rest of the world, you, and said so Abraham too, that those who bless you be blessed, those who curse you cursed, and all the nations have been told and given that too, that if you'll bless Israel, you'll be blessed, and when you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. That's why the United States and any other nation ought to stand with Israel in the natural. Because the minute we take up a stance against them, we're cursed. Physically. But it's the same thing spiritually too. There's a spiritual Israel. That somebody can even give a cold drink of water and they won't lose their reward. But God chose that nation, one nation out of all the rest, and told them, you bring your honor to them and all the different nations, and we bring gold and silver and the Queen of Sheba and all come in there. All the blessings that were there, all the rest of the world had to recognize that Israel was God's people. Was it because Israel was a better people? Without sin? We know better than that. But it was because God chose them and they were in that position. Because of position. Not because of how good they were, how rich they were, how poor they were, where they were from, but because God chose them, they had that. And all the rest had to give honor to that. Out of that nation, and 12 tribes of that nation, God picked one tribe and said, you'll be the ones that will be about the tabernacle, about the ministry portion. And all the rest of the tribes were told, now you've got to recognize they're your priesthood, they're your ministry, and you've got to pay tithes to them. Right? God said so. Was it because the Levites were better people? Because they didn't have sin? Because they didn't make mistakes? No, they had sin. They made mistakes. They were just like anybody else. But because of position that God put them in, they were in that spot where the rest of the nation, all the other tribes, had to recognize them as being the ministry. You understand what I'm saying? Just one tribe out of 12. Then you find out that out of that tribe, God picked one family that would actually be the priesthood. The family of Aaron. And all the rest of that tribe had to look at that family and recognize that God had chosen them for a higher calling. And they had to recognize that. Was it because the family of Aaron was better? No sin. No mistakes. No, it was because position that God had put them in. So you see, there's great standing and there's great things that come with a position that God has given. And that's why it's so important that the bride needs to come to the place where she understands her position, because there's great things that comes with that position. Amen. To understand what you're capable of. But there's a character that goes with that too. To understand that. And so then out of that family, they pick one man. One man to be the high priest, had the highest calling of anybody on the planet Earth. And he was the one that would actually go behind that veil in the presence of God. Was it because he was a better person? Was it because he had no sin? We know better because the scripture tells us that he had to offer up an offering, not just for the sins of the people, but for himself also. Was it because he was without sin? But it was because of position. That God had placed him in that spot. You even see in the scriptures that Caiaphas is prophesying. Said, you know nothing at all, but this man should die not just for this people, but all the people, right? Remember that? And the scriptures said that Caiaphas, the reason why he could say that, prophesy, and be right, was because he was high priest. That God actually spoke through him. And it was simply because he was high priest.
Right.
These things in God's economy we got to remember and understand. Like Brother M said, you know, if there's a prophet on the land, the word of the Lord, if it comes at all, it has to go to that prophet.
Right.
Of course, if there's no prophet, then maybe he can speak to you through a dream, as long as that dream doesn't require interpretation, like he spoke to Joseph. I hear people say, oh, I had a dream, it was spiritual, I had a dream. And I listen to it, and I'm like, it's full of symbols. Leave it alone. No matter how it made you feel, leave it alone. Because the prophet said that you got to have a prophet to interpret it. And remember when all those people would come to Brother Branham with a dream, he'd turn around and tell them the dream back and tell them things in the dream that they did not tell him that was in the dream. And then they could know, okay, this guy has the interpretation of it because he told me portions of the dream that I hadn't shared. See the channel that God established,
right,
that we should listen to?
Right.
So he was able to do that. And so it wasn't because the high priest was better than anybody else, but it was because God had called him to that position. And because of that, that high priest could walk in behind that veil and not worry about it. Now, what came with that position as a high priest was a certain garment, a certain perfume, a certain walk that he did that played holy, holy, holy with the bells and pomegranates around his skirt. He had a certain perfume that was made from the Rose of Sharon. But because of position, what came with that position was the right attire, the right fragrance, and the right walk. And because of that position, he got those things. It wasn't because he went out and worked real hard. Somebody else prepared all that garment that he put on. He didn't have to go out and get those bells and pomegranates and make them all. He was given that because of position. But because of position, he had the goods that allowed him to walk in there and be a minister on behalf of the people, the entire nation. One day a year that he would go in there, he could do that. Was it because he was a better man? No. Was it because he had no sin? No. But it was the position that God had gave him. And with that position came everything that he needed to operate in that capacity God wanted him in. Are you catching what I'm saying? When she knows her position, she's going to understand, yes, I can be. I am the bride of Christ. And with that understanding comes great blessings, great ability to operate in a capacity that nobody else can operate in. Right?
Right.
No one else can. Why could the apostles do the things that they did? Was it because they were better people? No. And she'll pull up Acts chapter 3, verse 11. Remember when the disciples, they prayed for the man that was crippled and he began to leap and rejoice? Look at this. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So all the people run up there because they see this man been crippled all this time, now leaping and rejoicing, right? That bring quite a stir. And when Peter saw the people coming up there, running up there, all excited about what they saw, he answered those people and he said, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own holiness, our own power of holiness, we have made this man to walk?" Peter's like, "Why are you looking at me? I'm a sinner. It's not me. I didn't do this. But it was Jesus Christ." And he goes on to explain it. "Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, God raised up. It's by him and through his name that we've done this." But even Peter told you right there, it's not because me. It's not me, but it's the position God has put me in to bring a message to you. And because of that position I'm in, then God gives me the ability to express it. And he gives you as the bride of Christ. That's why I said it was granted to her. He said, "I want you to be my bride. You're the one. And now here's what you need. Now you put the garment on and you go out there and you walk down that aisle. You be that bride." Amen. And so when the church knows its position that God has given her, and that she understands what comes with that position. You know, the wife, we understand under the concept that when a man and woman are married because of the fall, you know, that the man's the head of the home. And that's offensive to a lot of people, but if he's a godly man, that wife's happy that he's head of the home.
Right.
But there's an elevation of that. That's what we talk about now, the redemption through seed. It elevates that person who was so low and brings them up to be side by side, equal with the husband, and yet the husband is still in authority. But there's a relationship there that's what the way God wants it to be. And so that woman, who though he's the head, that woman has gained great ability and great power in her position with him. How many husbands can say, "My wife's got great influence on me"? Right? She can influence decisions. And it's okay for her to be involved in that.
Right.
The scripture said, keep silent in the church, but you can go home and talk to your husband.
Right.
You can talk with him. And that doesn't mean, but that means that if you feel like something needs done in the church or something like that, talk to your husband and he can work it out. He can talk and see. And that's a little concept. But what I'm trying to show here is that when she becomes the bride of Christ, what a friend we have with Jesus. Let's have a little talk with him. When she becomes that position, when she realizes I am the one he chose, and he has put something in me, if there's anybody on the earth that can go into his presence, it'll be me. If there's anybody that can cause a manifestation of his power to save and help, it'll be I can talk to him and he will do it.
Amen.
Sarah could tell Abraham, cast out that bondwoman and her son, because that bondwoman and her son will not be heir with the free. Sarah went to Abraham. You ever notice that? She told him, cast him out. And the New Testament testified that was God's will. Sarah went to Abraham, and obviously Abraham had to make the decision to do it, but she's the one, and Abraham followed it, and the scripture said it was God's will, right?
Right.
So Sarah had some pull with her husband who could make it happen, right?
Right.
Esther went in before the king without being summoned. Nobody else could do that. Nobody could do that, right? No, nobody else. But she went in before him without being summoned and lived. She could touch the ark and not die. She could go before the king and not die. Why? Was it because she had no sin? No, because we know Scripture said we all have fallen short and we have sinned.
Right.
But it was because of her position as the wife to the king that she could walk in there before him where nobody else could do it. And she saved a law that had been put into the land that would have destroyed her and her people. And she stopped it because she went before the king when nobody else could. I'd say she had great pull with the king. Right? Because of position. There was a woman one time said to her husband, said, "Let's build a little room on the side of our house for the prophet that comes through." Right? She spoke to her husband, and her husband put it into action. And these things are in the scripture for us to understand that by position, when the bride knows her position, then this thing's going to finish. And that's why the ministry at the end times keeps talking to you and keeps going over these things about your position, that you might feed on these things, think on these things, rejoice in these things, because this is the message that God sent. There will not be another one, not for us. This is it. This is the cycle that's taking place to get us out of here. So the scripture said, think on these things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, is this message true? Did he appear in our day as a faithful and true witness? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, is this message honest? Is what you see, the truth that's there, the honesty there? Was Brother Branham transparent? Did he try to hide anything? No. Right? Whatsoever things are just, fair. God doing what is a just thing to pour out his judgment on people who's rejected his word, but to pardon those who accept it. Right? So this is just. Whatsoever things are pure. I hate drinking when I'm up here, but sometimes you have to. Whatsoever things are pure. You know, Esther, when it came time for her to go before the king, before she became wife, she listened to the chamberlain, I guess is what he was called, who was her counselor. The scripture pointed out there that when it came her time to go before the king, She only took what that counselor told her to take. Well, this guy seen the face of the king, you know, he knew the king, he knew what he liked. And what's laying there in that scripture is to understand, like I say so many times about different things, that if every woman that went before the king listened to their counselor and they only took then he couldn't say that. So when you know that it said that about her, that was something different and it was admirable. That she didn't say, "Well, you know, I know you're telling me that he likes this perfume, but I like this one, so I'm going to take this one. And oh, you said he liked a garment that was red or whatever, but I like purple. I'm going to go with purple." She didn't do that. She took what he said because he knew what the... And so you realize that king, when she walked in and she had the right perfume and she had the right walk and he probably told her how to approach herself and how to speak and all that... When that king saw those things, what he saw was a heart who was willing to be obedient to the leadership of the king. And he says, I can build a family. I can have a home with that. But if she come in with something else, he'd have to say, you know what? I can't marry that, because she has her own will, her own way. And so you realize, and I was pondering on that yesterday, I think it was, and you realize that this counselor that was her counselor, this chamberlain, you know, it was her chamberlain, right? You know he was a eunuch.
Right.
Brother Branham could not pass his own seed in this message. He could not pass his own opinion. What God spoke through him, as God had put in his care to speak to this bride and to say the things that needed to be said, he could not put his own ideas in there. And any time that he would tell you, now, this is my idea. This is not God. He said, if you want, I'll tell you what I think, but it's not God. So he wasn't passing his own seed, saying, oh, yeah, this is what you need to be impregnated with. So he was sterile when it come to his own, but you realize he was able to speak to this age and tell us what the king likes.
Right.
Tell us what will cause us to be accepted by the king. And it's not his own word. It's not a message from a man. It's a message from God. And that's why it's the way it is. So it's pure. Whatsoever things are pure. Is this a pure message? It sure is. As long as you stay and listen to what's on that tape and that's what's being preached, it's pure. You get away from that, then they've done all kinds of stuff to it.
Right.
But if we stay with that pure word, it's pure. So whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, most beautiful thing that I know is this gospel message and what it does to the life of people.
Amen.
Amen. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. We hear good reports all the time about what God does in this message. If there be any virtue, remember, add to your faith virtue, all this different faith. If there be any virtue, is there any, Brother Branham said, virtue is strength. Is there any strength in this message? Nobody shook their head? Is there any strength in this message?
Amen.
Has the power to make a person feel better when they're down in the dumps, and meditate on the word, listen to it, and it lifts you up.
Amen.
Yes, there's virtue. If there be any praise. Well, you know what? When these things unfolded in the scripture, they were praising.
Amen.
And so are we. Amen. So think on these things. But all of this that I'm talking about only comes by revelation. Just like I said, it's all by hearing. Shout, voice, trumpet. It's all by hearing, but it's all by revelation. And that's the thing that we are looking for. So I'm going to read that quote I was stuck read a while ago, but I'm going to read a little bit more of it. And then we'll be done. Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Now notice, you say, Brother Branham, but that ain't. Oh, yes, it is. It's the truth. And then the very next thing Brother Branham says, did you notice Paul never knew Jesus physically? The only way Paul knew him was by revelation, by vision. Is that right? Paul only knew Jesus by revelation, just like Peter did. Peter had seen him in the flesh, but he didn't know him by flesh because Jesus said so. Flesh and blood did not reveal it unto you. And Jesus, even my own life didn't reveal it to you. This is Brother Ram saying, Jesus saying, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter. Even my own life, me walking with you, touching you, putting my arm around you, that didn't reveal it to you. The revelation does not come through flesh, because it's not a flesh kingdom where we're going. But it comes through revelation. So yes, you can have ministry. Yes, they'll be speaking the word of God and all, but revelation doesn't come through personalities like that. It comes through the word being revealed to you by Almighty God. Even my own life didn't reveal it to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed the thing to you, that he was the Word, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Peter didn't know him in the flesh. Man walked and handled him and everything else. But Paul had something greater than any of the disciples had. They said, well, I've got more of a revelation than you, Paul, because, you know, I walked with him, and I went fishing with him one day, and I heard him talk, and he sat on the boat with me, and he actually told me, he said, let's go over here and fish in this place, and we'll get more fish. And we did. See, we seen him do these things. But Paul saw him after he was dead, buried, rose again, and expressed himself as the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. So Brother Ram was saying that some of the disciples could say, well, you know, we got a greater revelation of Jesus Christ than you, Paul, because we hunted with him, and we fished with him, and we did all these things with him. But Brother Ram said, no, Paul had something greater. Like he said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who believe who have not seen. And this is what he's talking about. He's saying, when she knows what she is, and by the way, Peter or Paul didn't know Jesus by the flesh. So what he's trying to tell you is you're not going to know this that we're talking about, this knowing your position. You're not going to know it coming through flesh. But it's going to be like Paul had. So he said, Paul had seen him after he was dead, buried, and rose again, expressing himself in the same pillar of fire that the children of Israel. And Paul, being a Jew, would have never called him Lord unless he had seen that expression. That he was back, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, Paul, in other words, I'm the same God today that I was yesterday. Here I am in the same light, same pillar of fire that Moses talked to in the burning bush. And Paul and Brother Ram said, no wonder, Paul, no wonder he could separate law from grace over in the book of Hebrews. He met the same pillar of fire, and he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. So remember, Paul met the pillar of fire, and he said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. No wonder Paul could separate law from grace, because he realized that Jesus Christ was the pillar of fire, and he only knew him by revelation. And Brother Ram said that about this day. And here he is today in the same manner, by the same pillar of fire, expressing himself and vindicating himself the same, revealing the mystery of God that has been hid since the foundation of the world. See it? Question mark. So here he is, the same thing Paul got, spiritual revelation, not knowing it by flesh, but revelation. And here he is today with the same manner, doing the same things that he did, vindicating himself the same. And what else is he doing? He's revealing the mystery of God that's been hid since the foundation of the world. And what is that mystery of God? That God poured himself into Christ, and then Christ poured himself into the church, into a bride. And now that mystery is being revealed. He's here in the same form today. Catch it by revelation. He's here today revealing these things to us in the same form, same energy, same sort of things, and you catch it by revelation. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, right, when he should begin to sound, the mystery of God be finished.
Right.
Should be finished. Amen. So you see what all is happening in our day. It's a big message, but it's a simple message when we just get into the channel of what God's done and what he's doing. And yet it's so complex that it goes above all the heads of the intellect.
Right.
Amen. And we should be so thankful. Man, let's let the musicians go. Do you love it?
Amen.
He gives the word. Let's just bow our hearts in. Pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time to be together with your people. We thank you, Lord, because your message speaks that you're able to speak to the hearts of your people. And even, Lord, one time whenever there was a disobedient prophet, that you even used an animal to talk to him. And Lord, because of that, I know that you can speak. I believe I've seen you speak through a drunk man. And I believe the prophet said that you could speak through all these different things. But yet, Lord, the voice of your word is what we hear. And so, God, we want to thank you because you have spoken these things to us. And we're asking, Lord, that they would just ever so abundantly, just fill our hearts, and it would become something not hidden knowledge, but Lord, something down inside, that even when everything's going wrong out in the world and the flesh, but down inside we feel that tie post. That's the thing that's so important. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for what you've done in this day, and we just commit these things into your hands and to all your people and all that they need. We just give it to you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing and worship for a little bit. Come on, stand.